From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. We have kind of a unique guest today. We are sitting here with Ross Tokola. He is the son of our vice president here at KEI, Mark Tokola. And he just recently moved back to the United States after having lived in Korea for 5 years. So we're very excited to talk to him today about some of his experiences living in Seoul, both working there at the Asan Institute and studying Korean at Seogang University. So we're very excited to have you here. Thanks for coming over and spending your time with us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So let's start from the beginning, I guess. How did you end up in Korea and why did you end up staying? Give us kind of the background.
Okay, so when I was studying at Cambridge University for my master's in international relations, my father and my mother and my youngest brother were living in Seoul. My father was the deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy there. So my first time being in Korea was probably summer 2009. I went there for a vacation before beginning the master's, and I went back each summer. And when I graduated in 2011, I went to Korea again to spend time with the family and to explore the country. And while I was there, I was fortunate enough to get a position with the Asan Institute for Policy Studies. It's a South Korean Seoul-based international relations-focused think tank. And I worked there for about 3 years as a program officer, first in the publications department and then in the editorial department. And then following my three-year period with Asan, I spent over a year at Seogang University working on the Korean language.
How was your experience working there different from your experience being a student? Did you find that to be a very different type of living in Korea?
I was around very different people at the time. As a student at Seogang, I was around people who'd come to Korea because I have a passion for the culture, I have a passion for the lifestyle. They came there because they'd watched Korean shows when they were in their home countries, because some of them had never traveled abroad before and couldn't wait to experience the Korean lifestyle they'd been seeing in the television shows and the films and hearing in the music. So being around them and having that passion for the country around me was inspiring. It was a very different experience working in the Asan Institute. I was working largely with a Korean staff. The research fellows are mostly Korean. My fellow program officers were mostly Koreans. It was a very different environment. And working for Asan, I was fortunate enough to listen in on, be in the conferences, hearing people coming in with expertise on the peninsula, on the region. And it was a great vantage point from which I got to learn about Korea, the East Asia, and U.S.-Korea relations, of course.
So, as you mentioned, your dad, who works here at KEI, and we're happy to have him here, was a foreign service officer, lived in a bunch of different places, and you have lived in a bunch of different places, including the U.S. until now.
I was in the U.S. as an infant after being born in Brussels, Belgium. I was here for a couple of years, and then we moved to Scotland, and those are my earliest memories. I was raised in Scotland, Belgium again, Iceland, the Netherlands. I attended high school in Mongolia, and then I went to university in England. And I was 6 years there. I studied philosophy for a bachelor's and a master's in the University of London, then did an MPhil in international relations at Cambridge. So I guess the U.S. is country number 7. But the city I've lived in the longest, I did the math when I first arrived here, is actually Seoul. I was there for a full 5 years, longer than anywhere else.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. So what was it about Korea? I mean, you mentioned going there and visiting, having not lived there before you moved there. What was it about Korea and about Seoul that kept you there for 5 years?
The lifestyle, I think. And love the people, love the food. The standard of living is fantastic. I was able to live in downtown Seoul in an area called Sincheon, a university district. I was just very happy there. I had a great team of coworkers. I was in an extraordinary organization. I learned a lot. And even afterwards, I wanted to stay on because while I was working at Asan, I just did not learn the language. It's partially my own failing for not taking the time, but also because my job is largely in English, well, only in English, to be fair. And I stayed on because I wanted to learn more.
One thing that we talked about before the interview was that Korea is really making an effort to attract more foreign students, more tourists, more people from outside Korea in general, in a range of different areas. And so I'm curious from your perspective, both living there and having been a student there, what have you seen as far as these efforts to attract more people to Korea and get people to know more about Korea?
Oh, I guess going back to my first time in Seoul in 2009, I don't think I've ever been more bewildered and lost in my life than those first couple of days trying to orient myself in the city. But things have come a long way since then. There are tourist booths all over the major sites to help people in multiple languages: English, Chinese, Japanese. More people speak English than ever before. That's made things easier. The government has taken great strides to encourage English language learning. Families work very hard to help their children learn the language, and that's the results of that have been obvious over the years I've been there. And street signs are easy to follow, and there are several services for those living in Seoul who don't speak the Korean language. There's a four-number dial-up service, so you can call them and you ask them a question, "I need help," and they'll give you an answer very quickly, efficiently. There's all kinds of little things like online services like Ask Ajumma, which is making the rounds in social media because they are brilliant and they're very helpful. The city of Seoul and the mayor and the mayors who've been there have worked on making it easier for tourists to navigate the most popular sites in the city. They've publicized it online. They've been drawing tourists from all over the world more and more. And that's probably the biggest change I've seen is the increasing cosmopolitanism in the city of Seoul. And among the students, you asked about the student life. Aside from those coming in for the language programs, maybe the biggest change has been a spike in the number of students coming in to postgraduate programs. People are coming in from, say, South Asia or the Middle East for engineering studies at the top universities in Seoul, given South Korea's being in the forefront of innovation and technology. Because South Korea, I think in the Bloomberg Innovation Index, is number one in research and development, number one in innovation. It's just one indication of how South Korea is a major draw for those who want to develop these skills. And for international relations studies, they're coming in from everywhere. The top graduate schools of international studies, there are people coming in from all over the world. I have a lot of my friends coming in from Europe and from the United States, other parts of East Asia. It's rather extraordinary.
To go off of that, they've been rarely trying to attract these students. How have you seen the infrastructure there to support them once they get there? Is there enough infrastructure to support all these new foreign students?
I think there is. I've rarely heard a complaint from any of my friends about difficulties with housing or difficulty with navigating the city. I've never heard complaints in that regard. I do think that that the universities and the neighborhoods make an effort to provide services for foreign students, make it easy to get around and to complete their studies and enjoy the Korean lifestyle while they're living in the country.
So, besides changes to Seoul itself, have you seen any other changes in terms of Korean attitudes towards life and how things have been going there?
One of the more interesting changes I've seen among Koreans my age is that after university, that more and more they're interested in starting up their own businesses or going into startups, and less interested in going into the major corporations. Even a generation ago, the ideal was to be the top in your exams, to go into the top schools, get the top job in one of the major corporations, and then to stay on it, and just and make a career out of being in one of the chaebols or any other of the large corporations. But the Koreans I speak to these days, they want to be their own bosses. They want to be running a restaurant, but more so in the tech startups. I'm finding they want to pull together some capital and get their friends together, and then go off to the burgeoning startup area in Gangnam, or they want to put together something that could be of their own choosing. I'm not sure exactly where that's coming from. Maybe it's less faith in the major corporations. Maybe it's that they want to be their own bosses. Maybe it's this faith in the Korean industry and Korean education to provide them the tools they would need to achieve their own dreams independent of going into the major bureaucracies.
To follow up on that, I know that the Park Geun-hye administration, that's one of her big things is, nurturing this creative economy, allowing SMEs to flourish.
Definitely.
Do you think that that's part of it? Is the opportunity is there more because of these policies, or is it more fundamental than that?
I think it's just an opportunity for further growth and for more employment and for creating other opportunities. I think there's tremendous potential given the strength of the Korean education system, given the strength of Korea's R&D, given Korea's position technologically, for individuals to pursue their own interests independently of the major corporations. And it doesn't mean that they're separate from them. Often they'll be brought into the major corporations later, or they can work in tandem with the major corporations. There's no direct competition here necessarily. It's just one more area for further growth.
I'm also curious because, as you mentioned, the infrastructure has gotten a lot better, and even in the just 2 years that I was living there, you could even see some changes. Everything changes so quickly there. Have you seen more of an interest getting outside of Seoul? Did you spend much time outside of Seoul traveling around? And, you know, is that accessible for foreigners?
I think so. I mean, even when I first moved to South Korea in 2011, I did travel around quite a bit to get out of the city. I visited Andong for the Mask Festival. I went to Yeongdong for the wine and the music festival. I went down to Busan a couple of times. I've made an effort to travel outside of the city while I had time before I began working. And no difficulties at all, I have to say. It couldn't have been easier. It was a pleasure to go out and see some of the traditional lifestyle, or traditional Korea, especially Andong. It's a beautiful, beautiful village.
Yeah. I think, personally, so I never made it to Andong, unfortunately, but Busan is one of my favorite places that I ended up visiting. And then some of the festivals, each city would have like a very specific festival. So Andong has the Mask Festival, and then the city where I live, Cheonan, had World Dance Festival, and they had like all this samulnori and things like that. So that was really a cool experience to get outside of Seoul.
It's terrific. And even right now, they're having the, we just had the Cherry Blossom Festival, and the spring festivals are ongoing. And then all the music festivals, and they never stop. It's all year round. It's a real treat to be young and in Seoul.
So as far as your Korean language learning experience, you said that you didn't necessarily pick it up because your work was in English, and then spending time just studying Korean, how was that?
I have to say it's one of the most challenging things I've ever done. One of my very few regrets is that I had not spent time focusing on the language full-time before entering work with the Asan Institute. But during that time, I had a part-time tutor, and I learned enough survival Korean to get by, and thankfully it was enough. But it was a very different experience studying at Seogang University. I went to Seogang because people I'd spoken with said that it was the best place for probably Westerners to learn to speak with some degree of confidence. I would say that was true. It was a wonderful program. And learning Korean in that way gave me more confidence to use it outside when I was speaking with my Korean friends or restaurants, you name it, out and about. But yes, it was one of the most challenging things I think I've ever done. I used to say that the international political economy course at Cambridge was the hardest thing. But that was at least in my language, or I didn't think so at the time. But the Korean language is a real challenge, but entirely worth it. It is so different from English. One example I'll give is that at least when you're speaking in English, it doesn't particularly matter what word order you use. You can use the right words, and we'll pick up on what you're saying. But the Korean language, to me, it seems so grammar heavy. If you make mistakes in the grammar, you're going to have a bit of a challenge communicating. So precision is important, and taking the time to really work out the nuances and the levels of with whom you're speaking to be polite. It's definitely worth giving it a go.
So I don't want to embarrass you on the internet, but do you have any incidents where the Korean language failed you, or you tried and it didn't quite, the precision was not, didn't work out?
Oh, frequently. It happened constantly. I constantly make mistakes. No specific example comes to mind. I've mixed up words, like I've mixed up the words for quick and stupid. simple things like that. But what I have learned is gained a whole new respect for language learners. Going around Seoul back in 2009, you'll see signs that are in English that are not probably as accurate as they should have been. One of my favorite examples was of a very standard Korean dish. And I was at a restaurant in the Haebangchon area, off the beaten track in one of the alleyways. And in English, it said, servant of extermination. And I'm certain that's not what they meant. Yakjae. It's a very standard Korean dish. My suspicion is it went through Google Translate into a different language first and then into Korean. So I'm sure it wasn't a direct translation off the internet, Korean right into English. Little things like that happen all the time. But I'm much more forgiving now than I used to be.
Yeah, so I think the Korean government had a program in the last year or so where if you sent in a sign that was wrong in English, then you got like a gift card or something like that, like, you know, $10 gift card for like reporting this wrong sign. And then hypothetically, they're going to go fix it, right?
So I should have done that.
Yeah, you should have reported it.
Would have been good practice.
Yeah.
Try to figure out the Korean from the English.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one thing that I found. Some of my friends who had come and visited had a little bit of a hard time with specifically food because it's not necessarily directly translatable. I mean, samgyeopsal, sell pork belly, people kind of know that. But then you get into some of the soups and, you know, what does hangover soup mean? What's in that?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I saw maybe a little bit of room for improvement as far as standardizing the explanations of Korean food, which people may not be familiar with.
Sure.
I also want to ask you, now that you're back in the States, are you going to continue to be working with Korea? Are you going to keep Korea in your future plans?
Oh, absolutely. While I'm here, I'm going to continue to work on the Korean language independently and look around town to see if there are opportunities for more further language learning with help. Yes, if the right opportunity arises, I would happily return to Seoul. Korea is definitely not going to disappear, and was it in my area of focus. So I'm going to stay on it. I'll attend some of the events around town, keep reading the history books. I couldn't read enough. Definitely, I'll stay focused on Korea.
I know you've only been back for a few days, but is there anything you already miss about living there?
There are a lot of things about Seoul that are almost impossible to replace. Seoul is truly a metropolitan city. The Korean passion for the new and the modern is extraordinary. The people are wonderful. The lifestyle is terrific. It's really an irreplaceable experience.
So I'm curious, from your perspective, having lived there and having this experience as a foreigner in Korea and all these different areas, what advice would you give from the Korean side to, quote unquote, sell Korea to a foreign audience? What are the things that you think that they can really pick up on to show a foreign audience how great it is to live there, study there, travel there?
I'd say keep doing what you're doing. It's already quite successful in terms of letting people know all that Korea has to offer and showing Korean culture and the entertainment industry and opportunities for employment. Another of the biggest changes I saw is in the makeup of the expat community in Seoul. When I first arrived, I think the dominant groups were the teachers and the students and the military presence. But now, more than ever, there are people coming in from around the world to work for Korean organizations or to work for foreign organizations based in Seoul or to form partnerships with Korean companies. That alone has been one of the most impressive changes. In 2009, when I was walking around Seoul, you saw less of a foreign presence except for certain areas such as Itaewon or other areas where there's a concentration of business or the students or universities. But now you go almost anywhere in the capital city. And you see the foreign presence, and English signs are popping up. Menus are in English more than they used to be. And it's a more diverse environment, and I think that'll continue to increase.
So for someone who is thinking about traveling for whatever reason, maybe studying in Korea, and they're thinking about studying abroad or something like that, what would be your, number one, what would you recommend it? I assume you would. And number two, what advice would you give them before moving to Seoul?
Number one, do what you can to work on the language in advance. It will help. Anything, even learning the Hangul, the Korean script, won't take very long. That's one. It takes work. I know from experience. It takes a lot of work, and it's hard to do on your own. Number two, do your research online. There are endless resources to find out where possibly to stay, how to get around. Download a couple of the Seoul applications, like for subway or for even translation, Naver Translate. There are endless resources to find out how to make your stay in Korea easy.
Okay. I think those are all the specific questions, but I did want to give you a chance. Is there anything else that you would like to say about your experience with Korea? Anything else that you would like our listeners to know about living in Seoul and getting to know Korea firsthand?
If you get the chance, go. But I find more and more that people outside of Korea are completely aware of Korea. I've talked to my American friends here, and they have a few Korean friends already, or they know someone who's been there. It's the sheer numbers of people going to Korea to experience the culture and to work, to travel, more than ever. My first exposure to maybe Korea was when I was living in Mongolia in high school. In Mongolia, there are plenty of Korean restaurants. There's a tremendous degree of Korea-Mongolia business. And that was the first time I was fully aware of Korea. But since living in Seoul and then coming in and out of the country for vacation or for work, people know Korea. It's on the map, one way or the other, albeit through reading the history or from enjoying the entertainment or by watching the news, anything, watching the news for the latest trend, the latest technological device. And that alone will help. I find if you want to travel abroad and experience an exciting and brilliant environment, go to Seoul, go outside of Seoul, travel around. I couldn't recommend living in Korea more highly.
All right. Well, that was a really great place to end. I'll leave it there. So thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you again for your time. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Korean Context. As always, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And remember that you can always go back and listen to our previous episodes at keia.podbean.com. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.